Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Good. Good to see you. Good to see you today. If you don't know me, my name is Leo. I'm one of the pastors here, specifically to those guys right there, the Mercy Youth folks, our youth ministry. Shout out, Mercy Youth. How y'all doing? How's the donuts this morning? Good. Here's my shameless plug that I do every time. Adults, would you like a donuts? We got some left over there, don't we? If you like a donuts, just please go right ahead there and grab one. But also on your Connect card, just right there, I would like to volunteer with the youth ministry. Can you do that for me? Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I love Mercy Youth. They're my folks right there. Whenever I'm in here, I try to get them in here for moral support, you know? Like, adults, you're cool too, but I love those guys. So I am very excited to be here with you today to begin our series called I Love the Twin Cities. And I love the Twin Cities, and you guys do too. And Pastor Garrett, I relate. The food here, amazing. I'm remembering when I first moved up here in 2016, our building was still over on Broadway and Central, the Waterbury building, right? And I remember that first, like, few months of working here at Mercy, moving into Twin Cities, just going out to lunch every day on Central, just picking a different spot and walking there. I gained a little more than 10 pounds in my first few months here in Minneapolis because the food was extremely, extremely good. And I love that we're doing this series because not only do I love Twin Cities, I love big cities. I am a city kid. I love the cities. I grew up in Brasilia, Brazil, the capital of Brazil. And if you see there, I got some pictures, right? The city is a really unique city. It's shaped in like an airplane. You guys see it? It was designed in the 1950s by this amazing architect. And the city is shaped, the capital of the country, shaped like an airplane. I used to live right there on the south wing of the airplane for a while. It was great. It was amazing. Right? And then it also has like beautiful architecture. It's a really neat city, a beautiful city. And I can't wait to go back there. I get to visit this August with Levi. I'm so excited to go back there and see my family. But yeah, that's my city. I grew up in a big city, the capital of the country. And it was also a very multicultural city, a very international city because of being the capital, right? All the embassies from a bunch of different countries are located there too, right? And I had the privilege, I had this amazing experience of going to a international school in Brasilia because my mom wanted me to like still know English because we used to live in Jersey in the 90s, right? So praise God for my mama. It was expensive and she did it. You know, she's amazing, right? So in that school, in that international school, I became friends with kids from all over the world. And because of that, I had like birthday parties at the embassy of Myanmar. Right? I had lunches in the embassy of Cameroon. I knew so many people from all over the world because I was living in an international, multicultural, big city. And that experience for me was priceless. I love that. And that's the thing that you get with big cities, right? You get a bunch of people together. Right now here in this room, we have people from all over the place, including Brazil. A Brazilian from that place is here right now speaking to you. How crazy is that? Why are Brazilians in Minnesota? I still don't know, but I'm here, right? Then from Brazil, we moved to New Jersey in the mid-90s, and then after high school, again, we moved to New Jersey, and New Jersey is it's not all that great, but we lived in proximity to New York City. And I love New York City. That's like my favorite place in the world. I love New York City. And I lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And actually, like if you go a couple blocks down from where I lived in Elizabeth, you can see the skyline of New York City. And I just remember being amazed. Like, I love that place. And I wanted to be in New York so much. I used to take the train, from Elizabeth, go to New York City, get off in Penn Station. That's Madison Square Garden. And go, like, on the streets to scalp tickets, to get tickets to the Knicks games and go to Knicks games. I love that. I remember trying to get a job in New York City at one point. Didn't work out, but I did get a job in Jersey City, which, if you're familiar with it, is across the river. I got a job there working at this restaurant that specialized in hot dogs. It was delicious. But I was, like, doing the dishes and stuff. But the cool thing about that job is that whenever I took the train to, like, the station in Jersey City, the moment you walked out of, you got this amazing view of New York City over the river. And I love the city. I love New York City. And Yeah, so I love the cities, right? I love big cities. And I remember after we lived in Jersey, we moved to Florida. Then I went to Kansas City for Bible school. Then after that, my wife and I got married and we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, which is not a big city. It's a large city land-wise, actually the largest in the continental United States. Weird, right? But it's not a big city. It's a cute city, but it's not a big city. But it has the beach. I also love the beach, right? And I love the weather. The weather was nicer than New Jersey. And I remember my wife and I, we were about to have our son Levi, our first son Levi, and we started talking about moving to Minneapolis. And I'll be honest with you guys, this was not my first choice. This is not what I wanted to do, you know, going from the beach to beautiful Minneapolis. And my wife and I, we went back and forth in this decision-making process. And one of her biggest selling points for me to move to the Twin Cities, other than, like, her family being here and, like, free childcare and, you know, like, people to help us with everything. One of her biggest selling points for me to move to Minneapolis to the Twin Cities was that it was actually a big city, that there was good food, that there was things happening, that there was an NBA basketball team here, go Wolves, right? She promised me season tickets. Still hasn't happened. Still. Now, I'll go to a lot of Timberwolves games, but I still never got those season tickets that she promised me. But that was a selling point to move to the Twin Cities, was that it was actually a big city and I could take public transportation. There's food trucks, there was life, there's concerts, there's all these things. And I love that about the Twin Cities. And I believe that I love the cities and God loves the cities too, right? Also, okay, pause. God also loves the country, right? For all of you folks right now who are, I know a lot of us right now are out camping, right? Some of our congregation today, they're not here because it's Memorial Day weekend and they're out camping, including one of our pastors, Jesse, right? That's amazing. Praise God for that. All of you who love the country and cities make you, you know, like they're not your favorite. That's cool. God loves you too. God also loves the country. I also, like, I like the country, but, like, I'm not too comfortable there either, right? You know, like, I like to go visit, but please get me back to civilization quickly, right? I remember a couple weeks ago, we had a gathering, actually, at Pastor Jesse's house, right? And we were there, and she was saying that you're not a true Minnesotan until you're out there, like, camping or hiking the woods by yourself for a long time. Maybe you're, like, canoeing or in a boat in a river, and then you just feel the freedom just to go to the bathroom out there in the wilderness. And I said at that moment, I was like, I'll never be a true Minnesotan. I would never feel that comfortable to be out there for so long. And just, nah, man, that's keep me in the cities. And God loves cities, right? Let's get back to the message. God loves cities. And I believe that God loves cities because God loves people. God loves cities because God loves people. The great Tim Keller, rest in peace, Tim Keller. He wrote, I need water. Thank you. Thank you, love. That's my wife, everybody. Give it up to her. All right, here we go. Tim Keller passed away last week, but this is one of his books, and he tweeted this, and one of his main messages was about God in the city. It says, human beings are made in the image of God. Fact. In cities, you have more image of God per square inch than anywhere else. Right? In cities, you have more image of God. You have more people who carry his image than anywhere else in the world. Of course, there's people out there in the country, and God sees them and loves them. But in the cities, they're together. They're combined. And God loves that because he loves people. And whenever people are together, right, we see beautiful things happen. We see all this, you know, diversity. We get food and culture and all of that great stuff. But also, whenever we get too many people together, things can get kind of messy too, right? Big cities have a tendency to bring out the best, but also the worst of humanity. Isn't that right? In Minneapolis, we're a big city. Like, we're top 15 metro areas in, you know, the Twin Cities in general, the top 15 metro areas in the country. I believe it's 3.6 million, something like that, people here. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of images of God. That's a lot of people from all over the place. And there's beautiful things that happen because of that, but there's also some things that can get kind of messy. And it's been like that, not just now. It's been like that through history. Matter of fact, if you look in the Bible at the history of cities, it's a little bit negative in the beginning. right? The first city was made almost like God, I don't need your protection. I'm going to go there and build something for myself. That was Cain after he killed his brother. Then after that, we get mentions of cities like Babylon, like Nineveh. Remember Nineveh from the Jonah and the whale story, right? And Sodom and Gomorrah. They're some of the first cities that we see mentioned in the Bible, and all of them carry a little bit of a negative perspective, a little bit of negative, like, man, like things are happening in this city and God is not very well pleased, but he had a plan. God had a plan to redeem cities and use cities to be able to bless the whole world. He would go on, he would pick a city, he would work for cities, he would tell Jonah, hey, go there to Nineveh. He doesn't want to, so a whale swallows him up, spits him out. Now go again to Nineveh, because he's not done with cities. He was not willing to just let cities go. He has a plan for cities, a plan of redemption for the cities. And I believe that God has a plan for Minneapolis. God has a plan for Minneapolis. So this was my introduction. We got to go. Let me pray. We're going to get started with today's message on praying for the city. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for the city that you have placed us in. Lord, I thank you for the Twin Cities. Lord, I ask you today that you would, that our hearts may be connected to yours on the way that you feel about our cities. May we feel the love that you feel for the Twin Cities, for the people of this place. May you speak to us and teach us how to be more like you, how to love, how to serve, and how to pray for the Twin Cities. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody said? Amen. Here we go. Everybody turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, or you can follow on the screen. It says, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So pray to the Lord for the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Today we're talking about praying for the Twin Cities. And I believe that one of the best ways that we can show love, that we can love our city, is by praying for our city. Right here at Mercy, I have this saying that I want Lindsay to put it on a t-shirt for us. Like, Mercy, we are prayer people who pray for people, right? We're people who we grow in our life in prayer, and then we also pray for others. And when we pray for the city, we pray for the city because the city is filled with people. So we pray for the city. We pray for the Twin Cities. We pray for people. And also we pray for our city because how many of you know that our city needs prayer? Right? Minneapolis can get kind of messy, and this city has been through a lot this past few years, right? Matter of fact, this week, just a few days ago, was the 3rd anniversary of George Floyd. He was tragically murdered just 15 minutes down the road from where we are right now. Our city needs our prayer. Do you guys remember that summer? How intense and crazy things were? Yeah. Our city has been through a lot recently, huh? And our city needs prayer. Our city needs healing. Our city needs restoration. I believe that we have a call to pray for our cities because God loves our cities and he's not done with our cities. If we look at that verse again in Jeremiah, but then we think about it in its proper context, right? That's a beautiful verse, and I love it just as it is. But when you see the story, when you get the, like, you see how it begins with also? What was before that also? You know, what was talked about before that, right? So let's go back to the context and read a little bit, because what we see here is that there's something happening in that verse. So it says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Again, the big, great, bad city of Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Go down a couple of verses. Verse 10, it says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You guys remember that verse?
Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I'll bring you from captivity, and I'll gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you. So this verse in its context is talking about the people of Israel being in exile, being in Babylon, going through some messy, hard time situation in a city that was not their own. Things were hard, things were difficult, but God's charge to them, God's call to them through the prophet Jeremiah was bless the city, build the city, pray for the city now. Where you are at this moment, go ahead and work for the betterment of the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. He's saying, bless the city, pray for the city, work on the city right now. But guess what? The second part of that passage that I showed you, he's also giving them a hope for the future. Right? He's like, do this now, bless the city now, but also know that I have plans for you in the future. I have hopes and plans for you, right? There's something coming. When 7 years are up, I'm going to bring you back. So it's like, bless the city now, but also believe me for something greater in the future. Does that make sense? And that's a little bit of that tension of the already and not yet of the kingdom of God. That we get to bless the city where we're in now, but also set in our minds on what's to come. So I believe that we're called to pray for our city with that in mind. How can we bless our city now? But how can we also believe in God for what he's going to do in the future? Amen? So now let's get to practical. How can we pray for our cities? How can we pray for the Twin Cities? And I'm going to go to my favorite teacher on prayer. We're going to go to Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to drink of water. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, sorry, I am from Brazil, and saying earth is very hard for me because we don't have the TH sound. So I'm going to say it a few more times in the sermon. Laugh at me now. But if you do it later, be distracting. I'm just playing. Right? So we are supposed to pray. This is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, teaching us how to pray. Pray. Our Father in heaven. First, he's our Father. He cares for people. He cares for us. He's a good Father. He's in heaven. Hallowed be your name. We worship you. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love this, right? So first, he's our Father. Second, we believe that his kingdom is coming, right? His kingdom is coming one day. And whenever that day happens, whenever he's here, things would be amazing, right? How many of you know that if Jesus was here right now, if the kingdom of God was here right now, things would be better? Amen? Right? His kingdom is coming one day. Praise God for that. We pray for that. We hope for that future day. But until that day, we pray, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense? We're praying, come Lord Jesus, but until then, do your thing, Lord Jesus, right here. Does that make sense? So we pray, we can pray on earth as it is in heaven here, and I actually want us to make that prayer a little bit more specific. Instead of staying global on the earth, right, sorry, instead of being global, we can make that local. We could say, Lord, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and it will be done here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. We could pray here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. Matter of fact, right now, this is your next steps for the week. It's, I want you to pray that prayer for our cities, right, for wherever you live. Pray that every day this week. Can you just like set an alarm on your phone? Just pray that simple prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come and it will be done here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. Can we do that? That's your next step. You can write there on a connect card, and the ushers will collect it at the end of the day. Because we get to pray that. And when we pray that, I also want us to imagine, like, what would the Twin Cities look like if it was a little bit more like heaven? If God answered that prayer, let your kingdom come and it will be done here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven, what would the Twin Cities look like? I think it would be pretty neat, right, if we look. If we go to the end of the Bible, the last couple chapters, spoiler alert if you haven't read it yet, right? I encourage you to check it out. But if you look at the end of the story, we see this picture in Revelation 21 and 22 of Jesus. he's bringing his kingdom down, and he's coming down in the form of a city called New Jerusalem. And it's big and majestic, and there's gates, gold, you know, like precious stones. There's like a river, there's a mountain, God is his light. And you know, it's like this big, awesome, majestic vision of a city. And but then it also says, in that city, there will be no tears, there will be no death, there will be no sickness. For the old things have passed away and the new things have come. Now imagine a city like that. Imagine what Minneapolis would look like that if there was no more violence, if there was no more crime, if there was no more corruption, if there was no more people in need, if there was no more, just imagine that. Imagine everywhere you go, like it says in that city that God is his light. That when you're in that city, you just feel the light of God all the time. Imagine Minneapolis and St. Paul, when you walk in, you just feel the presence of God wherever you go. When we pray, I want us to keep that in mind, keep that city in mind, right? When we pray, your kingdom come, we're believing that one day that city will come, but we also pray, let earth right now, let the Twin Cities right now look a little bit more like that. Let the presence of God, the glory of God shine in our city. So I want us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. Then also, I want us to get specific. I want us to have some prayer focuses within that prayer. When you pray this prayer, I want you to think of three things. Okay, I want you to think of the people, the places, and those in power. Right, three P's right there to help you with alliteration, right? I want you, when you're praying that prayer, think of the people. Think of the people in our city. Think of the people in our lives. Think of your neighbors. Think of the people in your neighborhoods. And I want us to go to a verse real quick, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, 38. It says this, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Praise God. And check it out, verse 36. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is going around doing his business, and he sees people, and he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Then he says, to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So he sees the crowd, right? First thing when he's praying for the people, pray with compassion. Jesus saw people and had compassion on them. He didn't say that he judged them. He was like, how did they get so helpless and harmless? You know, like, you know, how did they get this, you know, how did they get this way? No, he had compassion on them. And then he prayed for them. He cared for the people that were harassed, that were helpless. He prayed for them. And then he also prayed for the helpers. He prayed that God would send out more helpers, right? He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord would send out more laborers, more workers, more helpers to help those in need. So when we're praying for people, I want us to pray for the ones that need help and the ones that can help, right? Pray that God will show up in the lives of those people who need help, but also pray that God will send helpers to them. And you may get to be an answer to your own prayer. How amazing is that? Right, mercy you for thinking about your schools, right? You're about to go into the summer right now, but think about some of those people, some of your friends in school. They're like, man, they need Jesus. They're going through stuff, right? Do you guys know them? Encourage you. Pray for them. Pray for your friends. Pray that God will use you to be a good influence in their lives. Pray that God will send the right people in them. Pray that they may find the right friend group that may change their lives. We can pray that. We can pray for people. Pray for the ones that need help and the ones that can help. Amen? And we can also pray for places, all right? We can pray for places, and we can pray for, again, pray for your schools, pray for your workplaces, pray for your neighborhoods, pray for specific cities that you have a heart for, pray for any place that people gather together, pray for places, pray for specific places. Matter of fact, you can add that to your next steps of the week. You can pray that prayer, right? You know, your kingdom come, your will be done in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. Then I want you to get it even more local. Get a map like that. Get a pushpin. Put a pushpin in the place that you're praying. I say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here in this pushpin as it is in heaven. Right? Get very specific of where you're praying for, because places carry people, right? People are in those places. So pray for those places. Pray for your schools. Pray for your jobs. Pray for your kids' schools. Pray for anywhere that there's people. Pray that God will show up in those places. And including, I want you also to pray for churches. Because, of course, church is not just a building, right? Church is not just a place. Church is the body of Christ. Church is believers coming together, right? That's the church. But churches also have physical spaces. Churches have physical spaces, and I believe that God puts churches in places for a reason, that we can be a blessing to the city. And then this week, this was a little bit funny, right? So I have ADHD, was diagnosed last year, praise God, right? But during this last couple weeks when I've been preparing for this message, I also had the strong urge to do something completely unrelated. So I switched my offices, right? My offices used to be back there in the youth room. Now I switched it to be closer to everybody and, you know, super time confusing. Everything's a mess now. And it's like, but it got my mind off of this for a second. And, you know, that's just what happens, right? I just had to do it then for whatever reason. And in doing so, I made a mess. But I also found the old Mercy Youth computer. And that computer was the old hand-me-down computer from the old building of Mercy, there, the Waterbury building, right? That was like the main computer that was right there. So that computer had a bunch of like all the stuff. All the stuff was there, right? And I saw that computer. I was like, sweet, I'm going to clean up that computer because it's super slow. Again, ADHD superpowers, right? I'm going to clean up the computer and see how I can use it again. And in doing so, I came across all the old files and videos and slides from the old building. Including the building campaign when we're raising money to buy the property that we're in now. You know, include like the music video, the Beautiful Things music video. I saw it, all the, you know, all the slides. And of course, like, it got me emotional. You know, as I'm thinking of the faces, and I'm like, man. But then it also inspired me. It really did inspire me. And I was like, man, this is not just an ADHD accident. This might be the Lord, because in those videos, the vision was we are building a church for the city. That was the vision. That was like the driving statement of buying this property here. Was more than just like more parking spaces, right? It was more than just having more rooms for the kids. Like, this was like, no, God wants to establish us in the city in a strategic location where we can have an impact in the arts districts right around us, right? Art of World was here last weekend, right? We can have an impact on the educational center of the Twin Cities with the University of Minneapolis just down the streets. We can have an impact on the financial district of downtown and all those businesses over there, right? We can be a good neighbor to North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis, areas that are a little bit more at risk. Like, God had planted Mercy in this place to be a church for the city. And seeing that language being clearly communicated, this is what people were giving money to, was not just that the building could be bigger, was said that the building could have an impact on the city. I believe that it was not an accident. I believe that God had me do all of that stuff so that I can see that vision again and remind us of who we're called to be. God is not done with that mission for Mercy. Matter of fact, I believe he's just getting started of how he wants to use us here in the Twin Cities. So when we're praying for the cities, pray for places and pray for churches. Pray for our church. But also pray for churches wherever wherever you see them, because God wants to use churches to impact cities, and he wants to impact cities to bless people everywhere. Amen? Okay, last but not least, power. Pray for those in power. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4 says this: "Our urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." So this verse, it's a powerful verse, but sometimes this verse often gets, in my mind, misused for political reasons. Right, this verse often gets said, like, hey, we're going to pray that this specific person from this specific party to win whatever election because, you know, that party agrees with me the most. And of course, like, my will is God's will. So let's pray that because that's God's will. And it gets kind of like coerced into becoming a very political message, right? I don't like that. That is messy. I believe in the verse. I do believe that we're called to pray for all people and all those in authority. And not praying our will into that, but praying that God, again, that God would bless them, praying for them, because if they prosper, we prosper too. It's better for the city if we pray for all those in authority. So we pray for all people. We pray for all those in authority, and that does include politicians, but it also includes teachers, principals, school board directors, right? It includes business owners. It includes, you know, the local coaches, the, like, who, people in authority, people that God has placed in authority, people that have the power to make the difference in lives of others. We're supposed to pray for them, not just praying that you know your favorite candidate will win an election. You're supposed to pray for all those in authority, because check it out. If we pray for those in authority, right, if God blesses them, if we pray that they may do a good job, and they do a good job, we get the blessing, right? We get that, like, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. I may be getting kind of old, but that sounds amazing, right? Living a peaceful and quiet life in the city? You mean I don't have to go live in the woods to have a peaceful and quiet life? That sounds amazing. I can still go to basketball games. I can still eat all the amazing food. I can still experience all the culture and all the good that cities have to offer, but without having to, like, be afraid, or, you know, all the hustle and bustle, that we may have peaceful, quiet, good lives in the city. Man, that sounds like a little bit like heaven on earth, doesn't it? We pray for those in authority, not because we agree or we like everything that they're doing. We pray for those in authority so that we can have that. Again, when Paul wrote that letter to Timothy, right, they weren't living under the best kings and those in authority, right? The kings and those in authority at that time, they were trying to kill them, right? And Paul says, hey, Timothy, pray for them. Pray that you and the Christians around you may live peaceful and quiet lives, and that's what we're called to do. We pray for those in authority. Again, not just only politicians, but all those who have the power to make a difference in the life of others. We pray for them so that people can live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. This is good and pleases the Lord. Amen? Praise God. So again, we pray for people, pray for places, pray for those in power. And we pray, let your kingdom come and it will be done here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. That's the message. praise God, right? I have one little bonus for us today, okay? One little bonus. I know I'm short on time, but today, we were to say this, today's Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and I think it's really significant, right? Because let's go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. This is Jesus giving his disciples final instructions before he ascended into heaven. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem city and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit was going to come and empower his people, right? And then we see here the next chapter, right? After Jesus left, they all go in to an upper room in Jerusalem, and they were praying, right? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them, right? That was the day of Pentecost. That was what happened back then. And that day marked the beginning of the church, right? That day, as they were giving, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They went out there. They could speak different languages. They were able to preach the gospel. They were able to tell everyone about Jesus. And it started in a place of prayer. And it started in that city. And after they left that room, Peter gets up there. He preaches. And like 3,000 people like get saved that day. And the church starts. They were able to change that city. They were able to bless that city. They were able to change the world because the Holy Spirit empowered them to do so. I want to pray today, and the worship team can come on up. I want to pray today that God will fill us, that will fill Mercy, will fill the people here in this room today with more of the Holy Spirit, will fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may go from this place and make a difference in our city. I want God to use Mercy, that this place right here, to the people from Mercy can go out in all different directions, because like almost nobody lives here in like this commercial or, you know, whatever district we're in right here. Like we all come from different parts of the city here to this central location. I want to pray that God here would empower us, would fill us with his spirits, that we may go and spread like wildfire, that we may bless the city around us. Amen. So if you please, this, I know this is different. Ushers, you can get ready to do your usher thing. But right now, I want us to stand. I just want to pray for us real quick before we get into worship. If you can, I just want you to just extend your hand out for a second. I'm just going to pray a simple Vineyard prayer that we've been praying for a long time. I'm going to pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you empower us? Yes, we need you, Jesus. We can. We will do better for our city with your power. We can love our city more. Power through your Holy Spirit. So I pray, come, Holy Spirit. Even now, God, I pray that you give, I pray that you give pictures right now of places, of people, of those in authority that you may, that us right now, that we know who we need to pray for this week, that we know what we need to pray for this week, that who we maybe need to reach out to and meet with and encourage. Pray that even now, God, you begin speaking to us about those people. It's people, places, and people in power. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, Lord. And we pray as we go into worship right now that your kingdom come and it will be done here in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.